You've created a meme, as it were. I can sit and ruminate on both the content of Dr. John's and of Scott's note for days on end. One makes me giggle. The other makes me scratch my head and just wonder at it all. And yet somewhere, probably in Texas, a child is being taught that evolution can't possibly be true because our evolutionary forebears aren't still around. At which point you realize that just as Dr. John pointed out, trying to educate these fools is probably largely errant in its own right. And it's not the fools we worry about. It's what the fools are doing to the beautiful young minds that they are... Well, they're hamstringing them, aren't they? It's a form of child abuse to teach a little one that Adam and Eve rode dinosaurs to church or had vegetarian picnics with tyrannosaurs, such as is displayed, no, neatly, down at the Creation Museum, you know, the one that's subsidized by Commonwealth of Kentucky tax dollars, yeah, down in Kentuckistan. Well, this is the curse of what happens when you engineer on the fly. Is that any better? Getting some queries about trying to get levels up. We'll get there. Thanks, by the way. We are $20 toward meeting Tom's triple torment challenge for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. So thank you very much, and that makes it reach it. You can't. If you could, you'd put your hand down. You'd scratch. Yeah, it's an itch you can't scratch. And so we've got that stuff to work with. You might recall Ron and Raleigh started the program off last night with an email called Cindy Take the Point. There are problems that come with such a decision, but today, and I remain a man of peace, I think our military budget is far in excess of anything that is justified. But it is a military-industrial complex, and we have the military we have not just because of our intense global paranoia, but because it is an employment program. For years and years and years, military personnel were never counted among those who were counted by the Labor Department in the employment numbers. That changed under the Reagan administration. That's when we started counting soldiers and airmen and Marines and sailors within the employment numbers, because otherwise the Reagan Revolution would have looked like a giant Reagan failure. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that's General Martin Dempsey, said today that he hopes that the sexual harassment and rape problem that the military has will be ameliorated by allowing women into the combat ranks. He said, I believe it's because we've had separate classes of military personnel at some level discussing why the sexual harassment problems exist. He says, I have to believe the more we treat people equally, the more likely they are to treat each other equally. Well, that's at least a respectably thought-out position. As opposed to, say, the Wall Street Journal. That little honk you just heard in the background is Ferg. He's already seen this story. No, really, the Wall Street Journal. Of course, it's owned by Rupert Murdoch now, so it's about as factual, about as accurate as, say, Fox News Radio Rwanda. But no, it takes a lot to have the nerve to assert walking around on our knuckles out here and breathing through our mouths and eating with our hands and not knowing which fork to use with the shrimp, to explain to us just why it is that the women folk can't be out there in the front lines. I thought Ron and Raleigh offered a good argument against it last night. This is not that. No. Instead, the Wall Street Journal felt themselves compelled to go to a place that you and I would probably never dream of going. They tried the argument, the women folk don't have the same upper body strength as the men folk do, and they're not as fast, and, they may not be as smart, and they're just not your warrior. They're nurturing people. We don't need people nurturing out there on the front lines against, our global enemies. And that didn't fly. not when all it takes is a finger pull to make God knows how many rounds of NATO-approved 5.56 millimeter ammunition fly out the muzzle of an M4 rifle. Not, in fact, when you consider, and this is not an endorsement, it is not a criticism, the fact that, other militaries have women in combat positions who are undoubtedly very, very deadly. So the Wall Street Journal, on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, said this. I'm going to try not to squeal or yell or holler or laugh uproariously. Societal norms are a reality, and their maintenance is important to most members of a society. It is humiliating enough to relieve yourself in front of your male comrades. Obviously, the Wall Street Journal has never been drunk out back of a bar next to the dumpster about 1 o'clock in the morning when, when some Weisenheimer's plugged up the John and the... Then again, I imagine the Wall Street Journal folks don't go to the same kind of roadhouses we do. I mean, there's a reason the word pissing contest is a phrase inside the English language. But anyway, never mind the folks who... Let's get back to work. One can only imagine the humiliation of being forced to relieve yourself in front of the opposite sex. Not to say what anyone's norms are or anything, but it's apparent that nobody at the Wall Street Journal is married. Or has children. Or has ever changed a diaper. Or potty trained. It is humiliating. Now, we're talking about a combat circumstance. It is humiliating enough to relieve yourself in front of your male comrades. I'm not doing this for prurient reasons. This is what passes. Really, not kidding. This is what passes for deep policy thinking over at the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. I would disagree with it. I would disagree with the premises, the concepts, but I would expect to see this over at Wingnut Daily or Newsmuck or on the pages of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review or the Washington Mooney Times. It's the Wall Street Journal. These are the guys who go get their suits made for them. Pardon me, sir.
Check, check, check.
Former Marine infantryman Ryan Smith, and one wonders how much actual combat he saw as a Marine, if this is what he is obsessed about. Well, he claims to have served
go. with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. At least until I am told otherwise, the Cylons are apparently temporarily at bay. I'm Adama Kincaid. No, I'm not. Nothing here having to do with COLAB at all. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. Usually available to you at 6 p.m., live that is, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and, dear God, what time is it in Woy Woy? Hi, John. It ought not be this difficult. It's 16 minutes past the hour. And all I know is that I pounded on the console, begging and weeping and pleading, God, please make it work. And then suddenly Agnes was looking at me, giving me the thumbs-up sign that everything sounded good. Who effing knows? Because I don't. But this is The Horn, a little listener-supported endeavor. Ongoing for some several years now. Approaching a decade, once you count the bad old days of terrestrial radio as well. And I'm just, I'm happy that we've got a show going. I feel like I need to talk fast and get everything in that needs to get in before the Cylons get back. Thanks for all of your patience. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin wrote in from Colorado Springs and said, really appreciate the attempt to come on live. Keep trying. It'll eventually work, but just wanted you to know that I, for one, appreciate you trying as hard as you are. We're getting there. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. We had several abortive attempts at getting things going, but we did eventually. Well, we're here, right? This is a listener-supported effort. That's how we keep all of this going. We try to raise about $150 a night. We did so last night. Thank you very much. Now we need to do it again. And, well, to help us along, we have Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge this evening. I know Shirley. I've met Shirley. And Shirley is deeply sincere when she invites folks to meet her $100 contribution this evening to help get us, well, keep us even and get us a little bit out of the hole that we dug for ourselves. And I'm the one that dug it. I realize when I'm away from the microphone, things go sideways for keeping this thing going, but that's how it is. We're live. We are live on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., from the headquarters of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign. And it has been a busy, busy day. I counted it up. I think Agnes and I paid calls on something approaching 30 separate House of Representatives offices today. No kidding. I mean, we were going at it hammer and tongs. And in a short while, I'll probably be able to tell you why. Not tonight, but in a short while. Hopefully. And so it's been a hectic, a tiresome, but also a rewarding
day. But that's not all we're going to talk about this evening. However, I will remind you at the top of the program, in addition to suggesting that we do need your help in meeting Shirley's Wisconsin $100 challenge tonight, that we also need you to go to AICACT.org, learn everything you possibly can about the AIC Act, and then take action with your knowledge. It has to be reintroduced, and then it needs your support. And it matters not where you are nor who your member of the House of Representatives is. Republican or Democrat, this should be easy. This should be a no-brainer. If we cannot get ourselves engaged over the very future of our children and the children of Appalachia, regardless of whether your representative is a Republican or a Democrat, well, frankly, there's just not a heck of a lot of hope for us. And I don't like saying things like that, so we will take it as read that there is hope, because I know how hard you all work to reach out, and I know that you're not going to slow down in that regard. So go to AICACT.org, and there's even a little widget there that you can use to contact your member of the House directly. It's time to start contacting senators, because we need to see the companion bill introduced in this 113th Congress. My gracious, it was a busy day over on the Hill today. There was voting going on. They were in session. And then to top it all off, there were, of course, immigration hearings. Somewhere Lindsey Graham was probably fulminating about Chuck Hagel and, you know, embarrassing himself, right? So hopefully in the next 2.5 hours or so, we will bring in the necessary funds to keep this little effort going, and we will have a little fun, a little conversation. The Skype line will be open eventually for your comments. And I thought it would be appropriate to start out the evening with a trip to the mailbag, because, well, that's the nice thing about people listening whenever they want to listen. You can also hear from them whenever they want you to hear from them. So with regard to last night's program, I had a message a little bit ago from Mike, one of our many Mikes. Well, one of our several Mikes, the fraternity of Mikes. Mike writes in with subject line, NRA hate list. I just got through listening to your Monday show. Excellent as always, except for the crazy tech issues. Thanks. I have a few thoughts about the NRA hate list. One, OMG. Yeah. One, oh my God. Because when you realize that an organization like the National Rifle Association that has lots of guns is busily and paranoia, oh dear. I'm off in the woods again. It's time to buy a vowel from Mr. Haney. Paranoidly? Paranoiacally? Crazy? Yeah, right. When you realize that the NRA with lots of guns is compiling a hate list, an enemies list, that's not really comfort-inducing. Like I said last night in the conversation with Will from Chicago, on the one hand, you could be kind of flippant about it and say, well, you know, I'm really not there yet because I haven't made the NRA's hate list. Not for want of trying. On the other hand, you're kind of glad that you haven't, because they're a creepy bunch. Anyway, Mike offers his observations numbered 1 through 10, 1, OMG, 2, this list needs to be as public as possible, 3, every candidate needs to be asked if they support the NRA's list. Not if they support the NRA, but if they support the NRA's enemies list. How they feel about that. 4, every candidate also needs to be asked if they also hate the members of the list. 5, every candidate needs to be asked if they will support any actions against those on the list. 6, this list should be included in every membership packet so each potential member can choose to support the list NRA policies. 7, how does this list compare to similar lists put out by other hate groups like Aryan Nations, KKK, GOP, and general capitalist organizations? 8, every individual organization on this list needs to be informed that there may be stalkers. Of course, these gun lovers, stalkers, have every constitutional right to carry guns while harassing these listees, but if they then choose to use those guns to protect their Second Amendment rights against these listees, then they're either crazy or patriots. You see the problem we get into. 9, we have fought wars to ensure that these gun idiots have freedom of speech, but those whom they have listed do not have that same right, according to the NRA. And number 10, lastly, OMG, welcome to the new American Fascist Party. Hard to disagree with a lot of that. Yeah, I went back over the list, the NRA enemies list, and from an organizational standpoint, you know, and I say this with the understanding and within the context of knowing that I live in a country that calls itself a Christian nation. And the NRA enemies list contains Methodist organizations, Lutheran organizations, Episcopal organizations. I think there were some Presbyterians on there. The United Churches of Christ there. The Unitarians were there. Various and sundry different Jewish groups were there. I think it probably just goes without saying, or can be taken as read, that the NRA, well, you know, I mean, consider the membership is probably what constitutionally opposed to Muslim groups. I mean, you don't even have to put them. Yeah, you get it. But that's deeply disturbing, isn't it, for a country that considers itself to be religious to the tune of about 80% of the population of the United States. The NRA is opposed to the religions of 80% of the United States. And I don't think the atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers get a pass either, if I recall the list. As creepy as can be. They don't like anybody. They're Mikey. Yeah, let's give it to the NRA. They won't like it. They don't like anybody. Except their own, you know, gunned up selves. So, yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. Cogently offered and all too true. And here it is, another great moment in NRA history. Texas Betsy sending this along. 3-year-old shot and killed while playing with pink handgun thought to be a toy. Tamore Smith, 3, was found dead with a single gunshot wound to his head. The child and his 7-year-old sibling were playing with a pink handgun that they believed to be a toy when the gun went off. The writer, Zini Jardin, says, as you may recall, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, was said to have benefited from the sale of a Hope Edition, Walther P-22, last year. Komen, for the Cure, denied later on having given the partnership its blessing. Well now, Jesus. That's just sick. 3 years old. And that's the price we pay for freedom, right? Is that what Wayne LaPierre? By the way, I was reading about Wayne LaPierre today, and I found out something interesting. Did you know that Wayne LaPierre got himself a deferment from Vietnam? It's not like other people didn't have them, too. There was, George W. Bush protecting the Rio Grande from the Viet Cong. They're in that champagne unit of the Texas Air National Guard that he didn't bother to show up for. And then there was Richard B. Big Time Dick Cheney before he dicks you, who had we used to call him Five Deaf Dick because he had five deferments. His last deferment he got when he first impregnated his wife. Really. So there were other people with deferments out there, but this is the interesting part. Wayne LaPierre has lately been making an awfully big damn deal out of the fact that guns aren't the problem, it's our mentally ill population that is the problem. Wayne LaPierre's Vietnam deferment was, if I read correctly, based upon a nervous condition. That's what they called it in the 1960s. Here in the at least possibly a little bit more enlightened second decade of the 21st century, we'd call that mental illness, which would mean that probably Wayne LaPierre has no business around firearms. Oopsie. Yeah. Dr. John, writing in this evening, he says, with regard to the NRA enemies list, I'm not sure which shocks me more, that they include Jimmy Carter or Boys to Men. The former is a Christian, a Sunday school teacher. He builds houses for poor people, and, oh yeah, he's a former president. The latter released Coolie High Harmony in 1992. It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday is the first song I danced to, says Dr. John, with a lovely young lady, though not my eventual bride. Dr. John says, if you hate Boys to Men, you have no soul. And I think that probably pretty well defines Wayne LaPierre and the upper echelons in the rarefied atmosphere of the upper the corner penthouse suite of the NRA headquarters out there in, what is it, Fairfax, Virginia? Not too awfully far from here. That sits right. Where'd that come from? Right hard by I-66 and the eastbound lane. There is more gun news to go into today. America's favorite old coot, namely Ron Paul, libertarian, anarcho-randian, get off my lawn, has stepped in it, which caused his son, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, to try to step out of it. It's all very funny in the Paul family these days. We got that. But we also have an epistle from our buddy Psychoticus, who generally calls in, he calls in from time to time, and he also participates frequently in the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com/chatroom. It's a wonderful place to go, the chat room. It's free, easy to access. Just pick out a password, sign right in, jump into the conversation. It's a lot of fun. But got a really nice piece of writing from Psychoticus not too long back, and I've had it in the stack, and I wanted to make sure that we got to it. And it does a little, and again, it does a little time travel because it goes back to some issues raised in previous shows, which is really kind of cool because it refreshes them. Greetings and salutations, Bob. As requested, I have codified certain thoughts I've had in the Horn Malloy Skype group for your amusement. More like my edification, I think. To delay is human. Going back to the fact that our little interface device was late getting to us this last trip to D.C. says, in the delay of your radio widget prior to your departure for Washington, please don't begrudge the delivery guy missing you. They have a lot on their plate. Being a delivery driver and taxi driver myself, I know well the harrowing experience of locating an address. Couriering is such a series of life failures on so many levels, it boggles the mind that anything gets anywhere, ever. First, we run the gamut of city planners who do not believe in direct routes, and everyone wants to live on an end road. There are unexplained road closures, traffic control installations, construction, roads that don't connect for no apparent reason, intersections with five or more roads, or for, again, no particular reason. The likelihood you will find the house you're looking for first among all their neighbors, coincidentally hitting the perfect cross street, is so remote we won't mention it. So finding yourself staring at house after house, supposedly neighboring your destination, you'll notice a few things. The house numbers will be hidden behind a bush, under a mailbox, on the wrong side of the house, have fallen down, have partially fallen down, covered in snow, unlit at night, extremely tiny, artistic, in font, a particular joy, as the propriety usually then smiles and points at some pile of rubbish and declares it's obviously their house number. And my particular favorite, painted the same damned earth tone color as the rest of the house. I never pounded any of these things, so thank you for that. It was not a few times I thought to correct such obvious defects with judicious applications of either trauma to the property owner or fire to the property. Pets with secret pet doors, pet presents, and the ever-entertaining which door do I go to, which brings forcibly to mind that show The Price is Right with contestants drawn alternatively from Borat or people of Walmart. In response to this horrible situation, the Japanese have dedicated area delivery people who work their lives as apprentice in the area for decades until they know every person by name first and last, as well as where they like their things delivered. This is perhaps the only sane thing to do. So until we all adopt the Japanese solution to our delivery needs, please be calm, tip your taxi driver, smile, thank your delivery driver. After all, it's not uncommon to hear tales of harrowed drivers late at night between bouts of uncontrollable weeping to finally fall off to sleep, clutching in a palsied hand a bottle of Jack, muttering, where are they? I am now a much more enlightened deliveree. Although I must say in my own defense, in the case of the widget that evaded us, the fact of the matter is they just didn't show up here. What they do back at home is the delivery driver, usually from DHL, pulls into the local post office, hands off a bunch of boxes to the local postmaster, and says, it's your baby now, and then marks it delivered inside the computer system. Section the second from Psychoticus this evening, journalists, the other white meat. A tip of the hat in your handling of the recent Alex Jones interview on CNN. To think an entire news organization didn't see that particular episode miles away does not exactly establish the bona fides of CNN as a credible executor of reality. The effect Alex Jones has on his listeners, let alone other journalists he is occasionally exposed to, is fairly predictable, much like how high-energy radiation sources have a predictable effect on their targets. I really do admire Alex Jones. If he didn't exist, I'd have to invent him just to explain various aspects of abstract psychology to my friends. He is a tenacious researcher, as there are so few so dedicated as a paranoiac to investigating potential threats. Sadly, however, much like his contemporary David Icke, his conclusions are the spawn of something that crawled out of an H.P. Lovecraft novel, ooh, Cthulhu, that one on the shelf oozing poisonous mold. Alex Jones is best described as the investigative journalist of Dread Cthulhu. Told you. That reminds me, tonight, send happy thoughts of sanity to poor Icke, truly convinced 7-foot lizard people live inside 6-foot dead-eyed monsters who rule us all with not much trouble at all, like implausible rejects from a Men in Black movie. Feel free to send thoughts of condescending, mocking humor. Feel free to throw your head back, cackle, and milk yonder giant cow at the life fails that are the white supremacists that pay his way on the speaking circuit who hear Jew when he says lizard. Part the third, Nazi poodles. Bigotry, paren, racism, misogyny, and on and on and on, is a recurring subject when describing the many moral and intellectual failings on the right. I do wonder, however, the origins of supremacist movements around the world. They're typically advanced by people who don't generally demonstrate attributes typically associated with superiority. As is usually the case, those who advance the case of some superiority of some people demonstrate none of the vaunted attributes they assign to said people. But there are consequences beyond the supremacists to bigotry. That's inflicted on those of us who happen to be culturally proximate, a backwash of intellectual pus that catches us all, no matter how enlightened. Well, there's a charming image for the diners among us at this hour. Sorry, Scott. In another vein of thought, why do we never hear about, for instance, Great Dane supremacists who advocate the murder of all Chihuahuas to prove the inherent superiority of the Great Dane breed of canids. Now, I've met some pretty enthusiastic canine enthusiasts, but never a one that advocated genocide of other breeds. I think this clarifies the antisocial nature of supremacists. They're not afraid of people, not in their own group. They blindly hate due to their accumulated developmental acculturation. But the term bigot and others are used to describe even those who step lightly past the intellectual pus, though through no fault of their own. Their default preferences, concepts, stereotypes have been shifted one way or the other, be it by Barbie dolls, G.I. Joe figurines, advertisements, movies, TV shows, or the social input of our peers, relatives, or educators. It is thus my thought that perhaps we shouldn't call people who are a product of a bigoted culture who acquire enlightenment bigots. Rather, they should be designated as one would for any other person displaying preferences, concepts, stereotypes, a hobbyist or enthusiast. If this piece of advice were followed, perhaps we could prevent the knee-jerk reaction of good enlightened people who cannot help their upbringing being labeled as one with Nazis and their ilk. This is like a seminar. I love this. This is like the fifth time I've read it. Car salesman of the apocalypse, eh? In recent interviews with Eve Ensler on radio and in print, a Canadian journalist who's currently on the book tour circuit tells disturbing tales of the effect of Canadian mining interest in halls of Congress. Apparently, you can't swing a dead cat for hitting yet one more Canadian mining interest on any given senator's appointment schedule. Eve Ensler tells that discreetly a senator who shall remain nameless described these corporate whores for Canadian mining as aggressive car salesmen. Before you start thinking nefarious thoughts of meddling foreigners, please note, many Canadian and American codes of practice, insurance policies, investment initiatives, legal boilerplates, legislative standards, and most importantly, regulations are tied to one another. As one country goes, so goes the other. In mining, at least, Canada and America make the beast with two backs. If it should come to pass that American authorities were to state a policy review, let alone state strongly a position abhorring a regulatory change and not even considering legislative action that would curtail absolute laissez-faire non-regulation approach to open cast strip mountaintop removal, it would definitely have a curtailing effect on Canadian operations. Notably, it would just about halt the Alberta tar sands projects. Bob, inadvertently, not only could you be saving your precious mountains and mountain communities, but you could do with the AIC Act what even the Keystone XL protesters can never hope to do, make an end to the tar sands altogether, and worryingly, the incipient civil war that's brewing in northern Alberta. Since the AIC Act's initiative is based on health effects, the same could be said of fracking. You've commented previously that there's no other bill to draw focus in Washington that addresses the Keystone XL project or fracking, in that you just might be selling yourself short. Your opposition is also greater than you know, even if they don't quite know it themselves yet. Your enemies aren't just who you say they are. Your enemies are also who they say they are. We might want to carve that one in stone. The inspecificity, there we are, trained word reader here. The inspecificity of the relationship of power in polyamorous relationships, or the minimum wage of orgies. Find me another radio show that's got this in it. I dare you. Because I'm pretty sure it's not happening behind the golden EIB microphone. No, you're not going to hear it on that the radio program or that life support system for a haircut Hannity either. He still can't find the waterboarding station. A note, lady cab driver Tracy called in and was talking to you about this horrible reality TV show called All My Baby Mamas. I agree entirely with many of the comments made on everybody's part in that conversation, but wanted to point out a kind of cultural blind spot many in our culture suffer from. When you, me, Tracy, and just about anyone in North America thinks of harems and polygamy, we think of Mormons, Persian Sultan, or Chinese Emperor with a bevy of cloistered wives. Strangely, we never think of a half dozen homosexual men or women, or one woman and a bunch of guys, always the old trope of one guy and lots of women. We also think of the power in these relationships stemming downward from the men. We almost never think of a bunch of Amazon women keeping a pet male for amusement, a bunch of homosexual men or women with no particular power relationship but that they enjoy each other's company. Finally, we rarely consider the necessity in this modern era of the need for more warm bodies in any relationship where children are a factor. Certainly, the ability to maintain serenity, the capacity to accommodate stress with grace in my definition, is a laudable goal regardless of the era when dealing with the trials of childhood, let alone adolescence. The greater consideration is financial in its ability to pool shared resources and build collective or intergenerational wealth among the poor. However, one would think harems or polygamy would be finding more fertile fields among the poor. Of course, to encourage the traditional family and traditional marriage, the ruling elite to tell us they care about these things could, one, raise minimum wage to the point where a person could support a spouse in the raising of children with some security, two, increase the hours of available daycare such that either or both spouses could have full-time carriers and children and no painful decisions need must be made, three, increase the number of people allowable in marriage and despecify their gender. Thus, a cry should call out from every tenement and project, give us minimum wage, or give us 12-hour daycare, or give us group sex. Or not. And then this, directed personally, Dear Kevin, I just wanted to say, a follow-up to the January 10th or so show where Kevin inquired about podcast availability for the Prism West Virginia series. I can confidently inform you that they are available on thepiratebay.se. Just search for the keywords PRISM, P-R-I-S-M, and American in the site's search feature, and you'll get, as of last count, a listing of 85 PRISM West Virginia episodes available on torrent. The MP3 torrents contain the raw audio ripped from the original broadcast on Ustream, the MP4 torrents are for our friends on the Mac users, and the raw FLV torrents are for PC users and contain the original video hosted on Ustream, just in case Ustream goes down, deletes them, or other nefarious circumstances occur. Soon I hope to have the time to cut some of these down for dead space to make them more listenable and dream of one day editing the video versions and adding post-production effects. That will be a long time from now. In the meantime, the raw video and audio are available by torrent on the Pirate Bay. And I think that is applicable not only to Kevin, but to anybody who wants to catch up on the entirety of what has been a magnificent educational series. And a little reminder, we will be going home this week, at which point, on Saturday at noon Eastern Standard Time, there will be another Prism West Virginia American History Chat. And, you know, it drives me crazy. I don't know why the Cylons, they're sneaky this way, but they come in, they go out, but Agnes every now and then pops her head around the corner and gives me the thumbs up and says we're back to being okay. We're still sending and everything. Kath, I'm sorry you lost your stream. Mr. Gibson in the chat room, I did absolutely nothing to clear up the audio. That's the crazy part. Absolutely nothing. I mean, I don't even stick my tongue out just right and one hand up in the air and the other one out to the side and stand on one leg. I mean, it's not like this is Green freaking Acres and I have to climb the pole. Mr. Douglas? Ay, ay, ay. So, just that's one of the more engaging trips to the mailbag we've had in a while. And thanks very much to Psychoticus for what obviously took a great deal of thought to produce. And your thoughts thereupon will be more than welcome. Now, there's a lot of places to go with all of this. I want to get to the story of the man that Charlie Pierce, who I've come to rely on for coming up with the absolutely best possible nicknames for people, calls Crazy Uncle Liberty. Yeah, the horrible end to the hostage situation. Well, the end of the hostage situation in Alabama. The dead sniper in Texas. And, of course, Michael writing in, Kid A from the chat room when he's able to go in there. Little pink handguns, really, Michael writes. Not to make light of the tragic death of a child, but I find it hard to have any empathy for an adult parent with a little pink handgun lying around. I hope the adult does hard time. Or wait, wasn't that a John Cougar Mellencamp song, Little Pink Handguns for You and Me? Well, shucks, ain't that America? P.S. Did Wayne LaPierre get his Vietnam deferment using the same method as his pal The Nuge? You know, pee and poop yourself method? Or am I thinking of the effect Fox's Chris Wallace had on him on Sunday? Maybe both. And, of course, Piers Morgan, who has apparently made an industry out of this gun horror in this country, apparently interviewed Ted Nugent, and you know, it was at least sociopathically interesting when he brought Alex Jones on. I'm not going to fool with the Ted Nugent audio, because we all know that that man said he expected to be either dead or in prison by April, and the last I checked, he's only got a couple of months to make good on his promise. Dr. John writing in, that last piece you read from Psychoticus, Dr. John says, bravo, that was top-shelf stuff. Stick it in the vault for the best of real. Indeed, indeed. I love this little community we build. So we will not be hurting for information as we go into the remainder of the program this evening. But for now, just for now, right now, it is my understanding, if the technology behaves according to form, that we do have, and maybe Psychoticus conjured her, we do have Tracy on the line. Are you there, Tracy?
Can you hear me?
I hear you magnificently.
Awesome. That's so weird, because I was listening to you read the letter, and he said my name. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm actually calling on the day that you read a letter mentioning me. I feel the honor.
So I didn't conjure you? I mean, it wasn't like some kind of magic or something?
Well, you conjured me while you were reading, and just I got online just as you said my name.
Wow.
That's like, scary. So how are you?
I am well. I am well. I thought of you while I was up in San Francisco on my ride to and from the airport there, thinking, you know, I gotta get down to L.A. I gotta get that ride.
You have to come. I have a feeling though that the mountain will probably come to you before, because I'm considering coming to D.C. And doing like the East Coast thing this summer.
Oh, wow.
And so if I do, I'm gonna have to coordinate, because I'm not gonna come all the way to the East Coast and do Washington, D.C. and all that other stuff without seeing you. And that's, yeah, bottom line.
Well, that would be wonderful, but I really did. I was thinking of you. I got off the plane in San Francisco, got my cab into town. Do all cabbies do 85 to 90 miles an hour in the left lane on the way from the airport to the city?
Yeah. Because you got to get back to the airport.
Yeah, awesome. It was like death race.
It's fun. I mean, I don't, because see, I have this thing. I hate tickets, and I personally try to go out of my way not to get moving violations because they're so freaking expensive. Like, I actually did get my last one. Was the damn red light camera ticket, $500.
Ooh.
$500. And that was just for the ticket, Bob. Yeah. That wasn't for the court cost and for traffic school and all that. So by the time the dust settled, I raised about $650.
Horse DNA. I guess this is what the downside of science? The upside that we can actually test and make sure that... What? Oh, that's not all cow? Okay. Mr. Ed really... Oh, dear. Burger King moved quickly to say that they were now using suppliers in Italy and Germany instead of Ireland, where the contaminated meat came from. Ah, great. The sound card is going to hell now. Best I can do. Because otherwise, the alternative is for me to behave like some sort of rock and roll diva and start swearing and throwing things. Am I doing the radio equivalent of Mars Attacks?
No, you're Charlie Brown's parents that no one understands.
Wah, 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 wah. What do you mean now it's fine?
It's fine.
How can it be fine?
Honestly, I
hear it. Let me check the chat room. And in the chat room, okay. Okay. Under those circumstances, then, we're working with a live studio audience this evening, by the way. You know what? If you're an up-and-coming comedian and you need a really good audience member in the front row, Margie is hiring herself out as a planted member of the audience because she is an excellent laugher, which beats the hell out of the one story that was coming out earlier over the weekend. Premier Radio Networks, the home of the EIB Golden Microphone and a number of other right-wing freaks. Yeah, they have planted callers. It's gotten so bad for the folks at Premier that they're auditioning and paying people at least $40 a day to call radio programs. So, at least we're not doing that yet. Thank you, Kevin. Bob, when you said trying the other one, and apparently you did it, it sounds great, the best all day. No, I think it was the fact that I threatened to start throwing things and swearing like some sort of rock and roll diva. Even the technology understands that. I think perhaps the technology especially understands that, because that's how equipment goes out windows. Let us, therefore, go back to Tracy, who has been ever so patient, and see if we can make this part of it work some more. Oh, Tracy.
Oh, Bob.
There you are.
Here I is.
Don't do that.
Here I is. Come on now.
Oh, God almighty. I don't know how much. And
come on. Now, you know that folks expect for me to talk like this.
Stop that.
They don't expect an educated black woman, no. As I put in my best Oprah Winfrey voice.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry you had to wait and everything, but the technology has just been
okay.
A living hell.
It's awesome because I get to realize that I'm not the only techno idiot in the world. So
careful who you call an idiot now.
Technophobe? Non-geek?
I used to be kind of geeky, but anyway.
You know, you were talking about Texas on your, I guess what you guys were playing when you were in the city by the bay. Guess who's going to be placing ads in California?
Oh, no.
Yes, Governor Rick Perry.
What? For what?
You can't even think.
Are these surrender Dorothy Texas is coming for you ads or something?
It's so funny because they said Texas has the message for California, and I'm listening to the radio while I'm driving. Fortunately, at the time, I did not have customers in my... Oh, yeah, I did have the kids in my cab, so I could not cuss and run off the road. He is sending out advertisements, I don't know, in different cities in our great Golden State about coming to Texas because California does not like business. So y'all Californians should move your businesses to Texas.
That's hilarious. Because
dude, I'm listening to the radio and I'm like, nobody in California who, especially if they have children, when they know about the way they teach things in Texas, the educational system, ain't nobody going to move their business.
Well, you know, maybe Rick Perry can just have a big old hoedown, a picnic or party or whatever, out to the family ranch. After all, we remember the name of the Rick Perry family ranch, don't we?
Yeah. Mhm. When I heard that,
that would be a great moment for some guerrilla counter advertising.
Oh my God.
Have that dress somebody up like Rick Perry and say, "Hey y'all, I'm Rick Perry. You've seen me in other ads out here in California, where I'm inviting you to come to Texas. Well, come on down. We're going to have a big hoedown down to the family ranch. Yeah, y'all know about the family ranch, don't you? It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to go hunting and fishing and have a big old barbecue, probably eat a whole ox or something down there at N-Head Ranch.
And we're going to have luncheon and stuff.
Yeah, oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Mm-hmm. When I heard,
I think he's trying to start a civil war. He really is.
When I'm hearing this, because I haven't heard, you know, they just played part of the ad. And like I said, I'm trying to think what cities or what counties they're going to play this in. And I know it's not going to be in Los Angeles. So I'm thinking maybe Kern County or maybe even Orange County.
Oh, it'll play big in Orange County because, of course, they're all convinced that you're living in some sort of communist wonderland anyway, right?
Right. Yeah, because of our, you know, because our governor Moonbeam.
Yeah, and the Moonbeams.
I love Jerry Brown.
The Moonbeams are all gone.
Huh?
The Moonbeams are all gone. He's strictly business.
But he is straight up business. He is like, look, this is this. He, you know what? I like old Jerry Brown. Because he's like, okay, you know, I still have some idea, you know, I'm still a little kind of, I have some ideology about the Golden State and stuff like that. But he has that reality base too. So it's kind of cool to watch the two kind of like play together, you know, because he's thinking about the money that we need to, for the state to sustain itself and what we have to do to keep businesses here and all that. But when I think about place people like Rick Perry, you know, because, see, yes, California, we do have a lot of government regulations as far as what a business can and cannot do. And I'm happy. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of this stuff that could probably be, you know, streamlined and whatnot. But I thank God for the state that I live in, because I'm pretty sure you heard about that horrible bus crash.
Yeah.
Or did you? Okay. This company, they have been cited on numerous occasions about, you know, brake stuff and all sorts of stuff that you need to be driving a bus in the mountains of California.
Right.
And, you know, and this is what, you know, back to my, you know, soapbox moment about why I vote the way I do. Because, see, I like regulations, you know, because I like to know that when I get on a bus in California or what have you, they're up to the standards that they're supposed to be, so I don't die.
Yeah, sure, sure. By the way, just got a note in from Marty. He said Rick Perry's poaching ad is targeted at Los Angeles, San Diego, the Inland Empire, San Francisco, and Sacramento.
Yeah, that's going to play well in did he say San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You know, Rick, you know,
if they poached off, say, the Good Vibration sex toy shop and put it in Lubbock, maybe that'd
do Texas some good.
But there's another side to this, Tracy, and that is this. You know, they're all proud of their hard ass tough ways there in Texas. Maybe it needs to be countered with a campaign that says, "Hey, Rick Perry, we hang job thieves in California."
Yes, yes, yes.
Because, you know, Texas is all don't mess with Texas, and we hang horse thieves. I mean, Texas is the last state in the union where it is okay to use deadly force in defense, not of self, not of home, but in defense of property.
Property.
Yeah. In other words, you see somebody trying to steal your car, you can kill him.
Okay. Now, here's my question. So when those tornadoes and all that stuff comes and hits Texas and those hurricanes, they're going to shoot them? Because they should be going around destroying a lot of property.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know. Because, see, I get curious about things like that.
I understand completely. Now, I have seen, albeit for only a couple of days, I admit, I'm still a noob. But I've seen the redwoods now, and you know who wouldn't give up the majesty of the redwoods for, say, some scrubby ass mesquite?
Right. Mm-hmm. And are they still suffering from a drought? Has it rained in Texas?
Ooh, I'm not sure. But I'm sure if it hasn't, that they'll be praying some up any day.
They'll be praying some up any day because, see, us Californians, we kind of like water.
Yeah, although y'all got some, we haven't talked in a while, y'all got some serious cold-ass weather down there in Southern California, didn't you?
Man, let me tell you, colder than a witch's pit in a brass bra cold.
Take it easy on the witches or I'll get email, okay?
I was like, dude, seriously? And I felt so bad because when it was really ridiculously cold, I was picking people up that were coming to L.A., you know, from the airport, and they're like, okay, what the hell? I'm like, I'm so sorry. Somebody's like, okay, I want a refund. I did not. There was times that it was colder here than it was in Alaska and on the East Coast.
Oh, I don't know.
It was ridiculous. I was just like, dude, seriously? How cold? I mean, I didn't want to say, well, how much colder can it get? I mean, we've actually had a nice little heat wave. It's in the 70s now, but I'm hearing by the end of the week, I am not going to talk about how warm it is, but we're supposedly going to hit another cold spell with rain coming this weekend. And, you know, we need the rain, and I appreciate the rain, but I live in L.A. for a reason.
Because it doesn't rain.
Because it doesn't rain. Did
it get cold down in San Diego, too? Did it get cold
down
San Diego, too?
When it gets cold here, it gets cold in San Diego, but not. It's a different kind of cold because San Diego is closer to the water than where I am. So, because I'm in the valley, and I don't spend much time at the beach because I know I don't really like the beach. I know.
We understand.
So, you know, here's the reason. And I used to love, when I was growing up, I used to love going to the beach until I went to the Bahamas. And
so the Bahamas ruined it for you? Or you had a bad experience in the Bahamas? Or
No, the water was beautiful and gorgeous and blue. The sand felt like, baby powder.
Yeah.
And I came home and saw the beaches here, and I'm like, ew. Not as nice. So ever since I went to the Caribbean, I don't like LA beaches. I mean, they're cool. I actually, like, I'll go to the beach in the summer, but not actually the beach. I'll go to, like, Santa Monica or Venice or the marina for dinner to get out of the valley heat. But as far as going out to the water, we have sewage issues and stuff. And every so often, we always have this thing, you know, they have this alert about not going into the water because of sewage issues, and I'm rather not even take a chance.
Ew.
I don't want to, Bob, I have this thing, I don't want hepatitis. And
no,
any other things, you know, or the bubonic plague or whatever, you know, ew. So, I go to the beach when, you know, like I said, just to kind of get away from the heat, but other than that, no. So where are you now?
Oh, I'm in Washington, D.C.,
and when are you coming home?
Thursday or Friday, depending on how scheduling shakes out.
Because, see, I still owe you butter toffee.
Yes. Yes, you
do. And I absolutely do. And I'm not going to send it until I know you're home, because what's the point in me sending it to you if you're not home? Because, see, are there still people at your house? And I can see what will happen. I'll send said butter toffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, no, I never got it. And everybody around will say, no, nothing.
No, they'll just be sitting there with a smile on their face.
Going, butter toffee?
What butter toffee?
What butter toffee? I know of not what you are speaking, you know, but I have been, you know, so we got the Rick Perry thing. Oh, have you also heard about the LAUSD child molestation scandal now?
No.
Okay, so apparently the LA Unified is acting as though they're the Catholic Church.
Oh, you mean like they've got the right to just rape any little kid that they feel like?
That, and that the LAU, certain principles of protecting pedophiles.
Ew.
And, yeah. And, oh, but wait, there's more. But there is also a tie-in. There was a priest in the L.A. Archdiocese that was defrocked or whatever, who went on to teach at an L.A. Unified school with getting a glowing recommendation from Cardinal Mahoney.
No, what a double plus good bonus.
You know, so we now we're having a situation here at L.A. Unified that, you know, that we've had, you know, parents that have been going and reporting, you know, misbehavior of these teachers to principals, and nothing's being done, or, you know, principals just silently move the the teacher to another school, and usually in poor neighborhoods, and usually in poor Hispanic neighborhoods or immigrant neighborhoods where people tend not to complain for fear of immigration.
Sure.
You know, so these, what is it, a hunting ground for these poor children? And, you know,
no, it's exactly that.
It is a hunting ground. I mean, the arch, you know, because Cardinal Mahoney has since retired, but there are rumblings.
Yeah, now was he
rumblings that they're going to bring criminal prosecution to him.
Was he the one, or was it back east the one that said, I had no idea this was wrong?
I think that was back east.
Oh, okay.
Even Mahoney couldn't have gotten away with it.
Listen, I can't keep my pedophile the princes of the church.
You know, it's hard. You know, we got to start getting trading cards like they used to do back in the day. You know, that came with your bubble gum, so you can have, because this has gotten to the point where, you know, I am sick and tired of, you know, the people victimizing people just because they feel they have no voice. Yet another reason why I vote the way I do. Because,
precisely.
You know, I pay my taxes just like a whole lot of other people do. Why don't I have, you know, I should have a voice in how my country is run, but I don't, because why? We got people like John Boehner. Oh. I know you watched the inauguration.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it was just a couple of nights ago, or maybe last night, that we were talking about. It was last night. We were discussing the origins of Fat Tony Scalia's dumbass hat.
Right. What the fuck was that? Was he a pope?
No, that was his Thomas More hat.
Who the hell is Thomas More?
You'll have to go back to last night's podcast.
Okay, I'll go back to
Thomas More was this revolting hypocrite who enjoyed torturing people for Henry VIII until Henry VIII wanted to get a divorce, and he said, no, the Pope won't let you do that. And Henry VIII said, well, I'm going to cut your head off, too. And so now hardcore, really, really weirdo, Opus Dei-type Roman Catholics, especially in the legal profession, affect an undying admiration for Thomas More and his profound moral stand. and so wearing that hat was Fat Tony Scalia, you know, the son of the pro Mussolini the son of the head of the pro Mussolini organization in the United States. That was Fat Tony Scalia's way of giving Barack Obama the finger.
The finger. Yeah, because I was watching it, because, of course, you know, I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, you saw the dumbass hat, right?
Yeah, the main reason why I was watching it was to watch the reactions of, I don't know, like Boehner. Oh, he looked.
Was he the one that showed up to the inauguration with one of those football stadium hats with two bottles of Merlot and the tubing that just comes right down to his mouth?
Yeah, that was him. And then to see Paul Ryan come, and I have to say, you know, we won. I was screaming, loser! You know, it was just...
And then it's just back to business as usual, and the drone strikes, but you can't blame the filibuster cave in on Barack Obama.
I am so pissed off about that.
Harry Reid owns that one.
That bitch, I mean, it's like, you fucking coward. See, I promised myself I wasn't going to cuss. But
sometimes it's in you and it's in the situation, Tracy. We understand.
I was hotter than fish grease. We were all excited. Okay, we're going to stop the bullshit. We're going to get shit done. And then, well, I don't know. You know, and it was like, when all that was happening, I was trying to remember where you were and all of this, and I'm like, when I heard that, I said, I could see Bob's face and Dr. John going, what the fuck?
Oh, and I don't know if you saw the upshot of it now, but now that they've gotten their little warm milk, had their warm milk and cookies moment, the Republicans have declared that the first thing they're going to do with the new filibuster rule is to make sure that they cripple the consumer watchdog organization because they don't like it.
They don't like it.
By the way, you've been awarded a toaster for hotter than fish grease.
Thank you. I got my first toaster. You mean I've never said that on the air before?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. You know what? I probably haven't because somebody would have remembered.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting a little introductory toaster either. Lottie has declared you get the 4-slice one that's wide enough for bagels.
Ooh. Do I have to slice the bag? Ooh.
Oh, it's got mud flaps and a chrome trim and the cool exhaust. And, yeah.
Because I'm sitting here, you know.
A chrome-plated chrome tray that pulls out so you don't have to turn the whole thing upside down.
Wow, Lottie. I am so. That actually kind of sounds like the toaster I have, to tell you the truth. You know me and my, you know, there's certain things that I do that I will spend money on because I have gone back to Weight Watchers. I haven't really done it as well as I should, but one of the things that I'm getting is a pasta maker. And you're saying, well, then you start Weight Watchers. I'm like, yes, but I'm going to be making my own pasta from quinoa flour. Because I have my own flour grinder. So, because I love pasta. And I think it's stupid for anybody to think about that I'm not going to eat it. It's just stupid. Like pasta and bread and cheese. No. This is why I like Weight Watchers, is because I can eat those things and still lose weight.
Oh, see, I had my own food porn moment this evening, Tracy.
What you do.
Well, not too far from where we are, there's a little section of town here. Back up. When we got done doing our work in the congressional office buildings, we had to get some supplies over and walked up into the Capitol Hill neighborhoods, up past Seward Square, to the local CVS, and got things like soap and detergent and garbage bags and stuff. And so Agnes had never been there before, so I detoured her back through this little area called Eastern Market.
Okay.
And Eastern Market is a real market, and it's a lot of little it's like a meat market and things like that, and a lot of little vendors, individual vendors, selling all kinds of beautiful food, and I tasted something and brought a little tub of it home. Creamy jalapeno spread. It's not cheese or anything, but oh my God, the flavor. But on up the way, and I couldn't stop and buy it or anything. You know how you're saying, like, you know, pasta? Well, see, I don't think there's ever going to be a day when I can actually go full on vegetarian.
Mm-mm.
I walked past a butcher. And he had ribeye steaks 2 inches thick that still had the rib bone on them.
Ooh.
Oh. I looked at Agnes and I said, quick, get me out of here.
Quick.
I'm having a spell.
Because that's the beautiful thing about food. This is why I don't know.
Where'd you go, Tracy? Tracy. Oh, no. Lost Tracy. Food porn will do that. Let's see if we got her back.
Oh yeah, you got.
Okay. Was that me or you?
I have no idea. You know me.
Oh my God! You've got. I can't show it or anything, but you got video and everything going for you.
I don't know how I did that. Oh God. Ooh, God. No, get the video off. That's you. Mm-mm-mm. No, keep the phone on. See, stop laughing.
I'm not laughing. That's awesome.
I don't know how I did that.
I think that was our first Skype video call.
Woo-hoo! But no, that's the beautiful thing about, because my friends are like, go, and my family, just take your happy black ass, and my black ass can be really happy. You don't want an unhappy black ass, like that. But one of the things that everybody's been telling me is that I just need to go ahead and just go on to cooking school and just really do the thing, because of the one thing besides
running my mouth that I do well and that I love to do is cooking. It's what I love.
No,
it is
absolutely
top tip that I love. And so, and they just started, they just, one of the JCs out here just built this whole new culinary arts building. And it's the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. And I'm like, why not? You know, I don't really have anything other to do other than to take care of Jan. Because at some point, there was a moment that I was going to get custody of my nephew. And that still may happen because my cousin and, well, we all know, we always have somebody, all the Horn family knows about those relatives that just can't get it together.
I think we've all got one.
Yeah, and so there was a point that I was going to get him, and then his mother got herself together. And that's what I want his mother to get herself together, because I'm just trying to imagine me with a three-year-old.
No. Something has gone kind of sideways. I think it's because you're still running video or whatever, but your audio is a little bit strange.
Because I don't know how to take a video. No camera. Okay.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. All right. And that settled down the audio a little bit.
Yeah, because of the. But me and a three-year-old. I'm not feeling. I mean, of course. I mean, Jan is excited. She was just like, you know, and he's a
baby.
Beautiful little boy. He's a baby. He's three. But, you know, the good thing is Jan's
saying,
how
long has it been since you dealt with a three-year-old?
Let's see, Alex, my son is going to be 25 in May.
Yeah, so that'd be 22 years?
22 years.
Yeah, there's a whole learning curve to go back through. There's
all the outlets and the don't touch
and it's hot and you'll get burned and put the knife down and all of that.
All that will look both ways when you cross the street and all the stuff that you don't ever want to have to do again, because. Let's face it. That's another reason why Jan and I went back to Weight Watchers. She's like, baby, we've got fat again. And how in the hell are we going to keep up with a three-year-old, you know, with energy and spunk and stuff? So that's another reason. But it's still up in the air about him. I mean, my prayer is that his parents get themselves together. That is my prayer. But let his mother know that if she ever gets to that point where she can't do it anymore, just call me and I'm there. And yes, Tim, that means he gets my extra room.
that's gonna be a deal breaker for Tim.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, Tim. You know, every time I get that room cleared out, and maybe that you could just come stay. Nope, there's somebody else moves in that supersedes, you know, family over friend. But one day. But before I forget, I want to do a challenge.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I will match any contribution up to $50.
Beautiful. Tracy, that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
You know, I'm feeling, you know, I've been doing halfway decent, and guess what I'm going to actually go and do next week? Are you ready?
Oh, tell me.
Happy note. I'm going to go try out for Wheel of Fortune.
Sure, why not? You'll be awesome. You'll be awesome on there. Just remember. They're a little less tolerant of the F word than we are here at the Horn.
I know I have to be careful.
But they will love hotter than fish grease as much as we did.
I even got Jan saying it, which is when she tries to sound.
Oh no, that's in the vocab. That's in the book now. That's in the vocabulary.
When I say stuff like that, because when I told somebody said something to me, I'm like, I am hotter than fish grease. And she looked at me, and she's like, that just
that surmises so many things. That just, it's like, especially somebody like you from the South and whatnot and so forth.
No, anybody, yeah, anybody who's ever been around frying fish understands.
There is a certain temperature that grease has to be at. Because if it's not, you're not going to have a fish fry, you're going to have a fish boil. So,
or a fish fire.
Fish fire, you know. So it has to be a certain temp. So, yeah, no, it is hotter than fish grease. And when I say it to people, they're like, ooh. Yeah, it's like, it's one, right up there when I was back in school and I was taking, you know, black history classes. And there was a certain horrible thing that, you know, white people had done to a, you know, black person. And I would come, Alex was still living at home before he graduated from high school. And I would just come home and he's like, oh, and he's like, this is the day that you don't like white people, right?
Yeah.
What is it he used to call? I don't like white people day. And seriously, Bob, I would seriously have to come home and just go into my room and watch, I don't know, Good Times or.
Well, you know, I hate to ruin anything for you. But this being, I don't know if you caught up with it.
This is Black History Month.
This is Black History Month. And teabag intellectual Victoria Jackson, Tracy.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No.
Okay,
no.
I mean, okay, you're not passing anybody or engaging in any complex automotive maneuvers right now, are you? Okay, good. Yeah, teabagger intellectual Victoria Jackson wants to know. Oh no, no. What does Rush Limbaugh do? When he always mocks Reverend Jesse, Victoria Jackson. Yeah, see, we can mock Victoria Jackson that way. Teabag intellectual Victoria Jackson. We talked about it a few nights ago. Wants to know why there's no White History Month.
Really?
Yeah, apart from the fact that it's all White History Month, but
it's all white. I mean, why do I mean you guys? Let's face it. I mean, until I went to college, the only Black history that I knew about in my in my books at school was we were slaves, Lincoln freed us, and then there was Martin Luther King, and that was that encompassed.
You know, I snorted there, but I didn't mean to. Well, I tell you what, here is, like I got any business doing this, here is my Black History Month challenge to you.
Okay.
I want you to go learn about the father of Black History Month.
Which guy is, the father, there's the father of Black History Month?
Yeah. There is, his name is Carter Woodson. I want you to...
I've heard of Carter Woodson, isn't it? Yeah, okay, I kind of know who Carter Woodson is, but I'm good. Before I embarrass myself, before I forget, speaking of Black History Month, there was a documentary that a young, and I, you know, I can't stand saying African American. I like fucking with people and say, I'm an American of slave descent.
It's true.
You know, it's true. I'm not from Africa. The only African American that I know of is Barack Obama. He's an African American. His dad's African.
Well, has Charlize Theron been naturalized yet?
Oh, right.
How about Teresa Hines Carey?
Don't know. See, but I'm talking about of the Black descent. The doctor.
I understand that.
Stop playing with me. Quit playing. But so there was a documentary that came out about a year ago, and I cannot remember the name of it. I got to go through some of my papers, but. He did a documentary about why there should not be Black History Month, because Black history, the premise of the documentary was Black history is American history. We should not have
well,
to have a month.
Who is it? Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman once famously stated that he rejects the concept of Black History Month.
And he's actually in the documentary, as a matter of fact. It was him and I think I forget who else. The angry black man on the plane with the snakes.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Thank you.
God, I hated that you were able to call him to mind by saying angry plane snakes.
I know, but you know, I'm still kind of, you know, speaking of which, I'm still kind of, I know, or have you seen Django Unchained?
No, I have not, mainly because I have some severe misgivings about watching it.
And you know what? As did I, because of who, of what, you know, because you're basically, it's like right up there with Lincoln, how you have a whole movie about the Emancipation Proclamation and Lincoln, and Frederick Douglass is nowhere in the movie.
I noticed his absence as well.
You know, it's like, didn't he have a lot to do? Wasn't he? Yeah. See, it's these kind of things, you know, because...
I know. Now, Lincoln was a brilliant movie. No getting around it.
I haven't seen it, but it's one of those movies I'm going to have to wait till it comes on
but
DVD.
But it was notable as much for what characters were not in it as for the ones that were. And frankly,
right.
you could just as easily have called it House of Representatives and not Lincoln, because it wasn't nearly as much about Lincoln as it was about the House of Representatives debate surrounding the Emancipation, the 13th Amendment.
Right. But I, you know, I still want to see it.
But
Django Unchained, I was just like, I'm sitting there watching the movie, right? And there was just a part of me going, this is not right. There was something besides the liberal, the crazy use of the N-word, every other word. And
see, I forgive me for saying this, but I'm not up for hearing that, Tracy.
I mean, they could have done the whole movie. I mean, of course, it's good. You know, this is back then, and yes, it was used, you know, like we use, I don't know, water to wash our asses.
Yeah, but see, this is the 21st
yeah,
century, and
the 21st
I like, I like
no
living
way.
In a world. I like living in a world where that word is not so easily in use, and I try to hang out with people who don't use that word. And I know this is making me sound like some sort of really, really hypersensitive, maybe. But I'll probably see it somewhere along the way.
Right.
But
it really comes on DVD, and is that you guys have Redbox out there?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that's what you do. Yes, you spend a dollar.
Yeah. Oh, it'll hit Netflix or something too. So yeah.
Yeah. See, it's one of the. See, my thing about it is, there's really no movie that you can really make about slavery that is gonna show what slavery is
no,
about.
No, but see, I was an impressionable, 10, 11 year old, forget, maybe 12, when Roots came out on TV. And I have, I have just absolutely outed myself as the nerdy white guy. But I sat there watching Roots, as did my family, you know, white, cringing. And you know, the scene with the what's your name and all of that. And,
right. And that was pretty damn brutal. And like you said, you know, and that wasn't even, you know, they didn't show what really went on in the slave boats. You know,
you had to wait for Amistad to come out for that.
Right. You know, and like we talked about, you know, about the, or
and I did see that.
There's certain things that I can't watch. Like movies like that and movies like Precious. I am sick and tired of these people, you know, it's like the right up there with All My Baby's Mamas. There are so many positive influences and role models in all cultures, you know, not besides, you know, African American, Hispanic, Asian. Why?
But that's the for-profit media's urge to drive everything to a lowest common denominator, because for every All My Baby Mamas, there's a Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Exactly. Or what's that, Bushwhacked? Is that show? That's the show?
No, Buckwild?
Buckwild. Did I say Bushwhacked?
Yeah, see, I've watched a couple of episodes, and I can't get too upset about Buckwild. I mean...
But see, like you said, but the thing is, there's this thing, and where you, the for-profit media, where does it stop? I mean, I you know, I pick and choose what I watch, and I'm a true crime drama freak. So my television basically on Investigative Discovery Channel all the time. I call it I call it, and don't be mad, but I call it the Crazy White People Channel, because I have never, every so often they show crazy black people. As a matter of fact, the other day, the first of the month, it was hilarious. It was like every show that they show was black people doing wrong, and I'm like, oh, look, it's Black History Month.
You made the immediate connection.
I made the immediate connection, because I watch that, I kid you not, I watch that channel all the, pretty much 7 days a week. It is always on, you know, because I tape everything, I DVR everything else, or I watch it on stuff on demand. So, and so the 90% of those shows are, you know, I'm like, crazy white people. But then they'll sneak in black folk, and maybe once a month or so, you'll see a show featuring something crazy black.
Can I throw a film recommendation out there for you that is truly out of left field? Because it's a brilliant piece of satire, and it's a European film. And what, it's a couple of years old or so? But and I just stumbled onto it on Netflix on demand the other day and had to watch it because I'd had a somebody had mentioned it on the show or I'd seen it somewhere online. It is a film called Iron Sky.
I've heard of it. I don't know what is about, what is so is, oh, it's on Netflix. Great, I have Netflix.
Yeah,
I don't really watch
it. It's got an absolutely ridiculous premise, being that at the end of World War II, some Nazis snuck off and built a giant moon base on the far side of the moon. But it gets better. Have you ever seen the brilliant John Sayles film Brother from Another Planet?
Love that movie. I actually saw it on Netflix.
Okay, so Iron Sky has elements of homage to Brother from Another Planet.
I love John Sayles. He hasn't made a movie in a while, has he?
No, he hasn't. Of course, he'll always be a hero to me for making Mate One.
I actually saw Mate One. I think I pretty much have seen pretty much everything John Sayles has done because I love him. So Iron Sky, put that in the memory bank.
Yeah, but it's not
Sky.
A John Sayles film.
But I'm just saying to remember it. So next time
when you see the giant, I'm gonna do a little spoiling here, because if you go and read about it at all, you'll run across it. The premise is that it's 2018 and Sarah Palin is president of the United States.
Oh.
And she has to come up with a publicity stunt to get her reelected. And it's a poster with a black guy on it. And the motto is, the slogan is, "Black to the moon? Yes, she can." And it is hilarious. It's got a thousand little references in it, just little things that you have to watch to pick up, and it's hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious, and the way it ends is absolutely magnificent, and you will laugh your ass off from beginning to end.
Okay. I need a, you know, because like I said, I spend way too much time watching.
There is a cinematic Dr. Strangelove reference.
Get out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Kubrick, they're having some big exhibit for him at one of our museums out here. I just think Stanley Kubrick makes me nervous. I don't know. There was something about him that seemed a bit off from his films. The only movie that I think that I really liked that he did really was Full Metal Jacket. Oh, and The Shining.
Oh, no. I mean, no, Dr. Strangelove, please.
Okay, yeah. Dr. Strangelove, too, yeah. Alex Love. See, my son is an old soul, and I love movies, so, you know, he's introducing his friends to like movies like that and all that, The Godfather, and, you know, Dr. Strangelove. And he's like, "Wow, Mom." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about the internet now. You don't have to go to the video store anymore and rip movies. Well, good luck finding a video store that you can rip movies from.
I mean, there's a Charlie Chaplin reference in this thing. The people who made this film really knew. They knew their film. They absolutely.
See, I like smart stuff. I like. Speaking of smart stuff, before I forget, now remember I did. How far are you from Washington D.C.?
Oh, Tracy, I'm in Washington D.C.
As far as where you live.
No, that's 6 hours.
Okay. Because seriously, I've never been to Washington, D.C., and neither Jed and I are planning our vacations next year, because she's turning 60 next year, and my mom is turning 65. So Christmas 2014, we're doing the definite bucket list vacation, which is Australia, New Zealand, Tahiti.
Wowzer.
Do not hate me, because I.
No, you just got to come back. You just got to promise to come back to the gulag.
Oh no, I'll promise to come back. But see, we're already budgeting. I've already contacted a travel agent, and we've already started the budgeting and stuff like that. Because that's what we're doing. And then summer 2016, Brazil, for the Olympics.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, it's not like we're going first class or anything like that. You know, we're reality-based in this. But these are places that I've always wanted to go. And I think, because I've been to Europe, and, yeah, okay. But, come on, Bob, Australia?
Oh, no, you're speaking to me. New Zealand, I get just absolutely beside myself. I mean, yeah.
Come on, it's like... For the first time in my life, I want to go somewhere, because normally when I travel by myself, and I have somebody in my life that I love that I want to come with me. And so I am, you know, she's like, well, how are we going to do this? I said, because this is how we're going to do it. And I am very goal-orientated, so when I set my mind to something and I really want to do this, you know, so this is one of the things, because I figured,
You got to be careful with what you whisper into the ear of the universe, though, Tracy. No sooner were you talking about crossing the Pacific than Sparky in the chat room posted update, major 8.0 earthquake off the Solomon Islands, tsunami watches and warnings being issued now.
See, this is that kind of, you know, really? Come
really?
On. You know? Well, did I ever tell you, remember, of course, 9/11 and the horrible Hurricane Katrina and all that. So I was in New York, went to the Twin Towers, and then a month later, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I was in New Orleans, did the whole New Orleans thing. A month later, 2 months later, Katrina.
Yeah, see, and understanding that. I love you and everything, but if you're coming to D.C., I'm staying in West Virginia.
That's the only... I've been to several other places since then, and nothing's happened. I went to London and Paris. Nothing happened when I was there. And since, you know, there's...
That you know of.
I figure if anything catastrophic had to happen after I left. Like the outbreak of the plague, you know, or what have you. I think that there would have been some kind of news report, because that's what my relatives were like. Wait a minute, you went to these places, and then that soon after there was a natural disaster. I'm like, you know what? Shut up. I did not break it, you know. Even though now that I am a gay liberal woman, according to Falwell, it is my fault.
Absolutely.
I'm a godless person.
Yeah, and you're on the hook for volcanoes too. Don't forget.
See, you know that it is. You know what? But see, at that time, I wasn't dating a woman. I was very single. Had no idea that I would fall in love with a woman. So maybe the universe knew before I did.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
It's my fault. Okay, I take full responsibility. I'm sorry.
But if you do come to D.C. and do the tourist thing, you will enjoy the hell out of it. This is an awesome tourist town. It's only when you start fooling around doing the governmental stuff that it's possible to get just a little bit jaded.
No.
But listen, if y'all do come here,
What do you want me to bring?
Just let me know, and we'll try to get you. Who's your member of Congress?
Oh, Sherman, Brad Sherman. Wait, I forget who won. It was either Howard Berman or Brad Sherman, because that was. Remember, I told you that they had the redistricting the night of the same night.
Well,
of
if
the,
they haven't signed on to the ACAC by then, maybe you can just get an appointment in the office and say, "Hey, I just came here to tell you to sign on to this thing."
I would do that. You know, I would.
I know
I would. You know, I would. I get off. But I promise I won't be ghetto. I promise that I won't get my Jerry curl back, and I won't get my gold tooth back.
Now, see, you're taking all the fun out of it. Now, you're going to do all that for your Wheel of Fortune audition, though, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Because did you hear, have you seen, and this is one of those things that I kind of hate YouTube for, but I kind of love it, too. Have you heard of Sweet Brown?
No. Am I gonna be searching that on YouTube as soon as the show's over?
Yes, and her okay. And the only thing when she says, and I say it so well, ain't nobody got time for that. That's all I gotta say. And you're gonna start saying, ain't nobody got time for that.
I did see the other day, and again, you're just dragging me further down the path of creating the image of Bob Kincaid, nerdy white guy. I saw an old, I think it was a Jerry Curl commercial on YouTube, and it was the Frederick Douglass commercial.
What? Wait, there was a Jerry Curl commercial with Frederick Douglass?
Oh, hold the phone.
What's that five coming out?
Let me see here.
159, go ahead.
Quit playing. Frederick Douglass?
It was. I mean, I sat there and went, this is the coolest thing.
Fred has. Did they get Fred Jerry Curl?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. Wasn't Jerry Curl. It's Afro-Sheen.
Afro-Sheen.
Okay. So do me a favor. Mute your mic. Okay.
Okay.
Because I might have to pop this up a little bit. The audio. Okay, you have to imagine the Frederick Douglass character and the young hip dude character, but the dialogue is plenty. So you mute your mic. All right. Tracy's muted. Cultural moment from the 1970s. This thing. Now I'm not making fun. I thought this thing was just beautiful. Check it out. It was a Soul Train ad.
Haven't you forgotten something?
Say, you were... Hey, aren't you Frederick Douglass? Yeah, we studied about you in school yesterday. About how you were a slave and how you took your own freedom. And then began to fight for freedom and dignity for all our people. Say, but what did I forget?
Are you going to go out into the world with your hair looking like that?
Well, Mr. Douglass, you know, times have changed. We wear the natural now.
You call that a natural? That's a mess. I've been watching the progress of our people, and I'm quite familiar with the natural. And I'm also aware that it is worn as an outward expression of pride and dignity. So haven't you forgotten?
Right. My Afro Sheen comb easy and hairspray for Sheen. You know, I can dig this getting my fro together.
My sentiments, almost exactly.
Well, how's this, Mr. Douglass? Mr. Douglass? Man, ain't nobody gonna believe this.
That's actually some halfway cool advertising. You there, Tracy?
Oh my God! It just brought back all those memories of me sitting in my front room in front of the television. Did you ever see the movie Crooklyn?
No.
As much as I adore, you know, Spike Lee and I have a love-hate relationship. But Crooklyn basically was about him and his growing up in Brooklyn, you know, in the 70s, early, late 60s, early 70s. And there's a scene, and all the kids are sitting around the television watching Soul Train. And when the Soul Train line comes up and the kids are getting up and dancing, it just brought back all those memories of us fighting, you know, because you know, until, you know, whatever year it was the Soul Train came out, we were relegated to watching American Bandstand.
Oh, dear God.
And then...
Well, I really liked it, Dick. I'll give it a 3.5 because it had good lyrics and you could dance to it.
Right. But then Soul Train came out, and it was like... And it was like watching it with the Afro Sheen and all that. It was like, yeah. It was just...
Oh, no, we're having that audio degradation issue.
Growing up with a little nappy-headed girl, and it just makes me think of when I was a kid watching Soul Train, and it's like, but... That's another,
yeah, but that ad is just too
cool. Oh, I'm going to so have to. So it's Frederick Douglass and Afro Sheen.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass and Afro Sheen ad. It'll pop right up. I didn't have any trouble at all finding it. Hey, Tracy, you drive safe this evening, and it's awful
always
good to hear from you.
And keep me posted about my challenge. So, you know, and email me or text me or whatever and let me know.
Well, I tell you what, if you don't care, Tracy, we had one on the table this evening, and we're $30 toward it. And so, if you don't mind, we may continue this into tomorrow if that's okay.
That is so fine with me. You know that.
Awesome.
Totally. Like, oh my God! Like,
yeah,
wow.
And thanks for the brief video. That was just too cool.
Oh God! Yeah. Now you can see me and my three chins. All right. You know me, but
I didn't see but one. You looked like you was having a high old time behind the wheel there. I mean, not high or anything. I mean, it's California, but yeah, you're still driving.
Yeah, but driving safely. But anyway, God bless you and God keep you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, you take care, Tracy.
All right, bye-bye.
By fits and starts, that was none other than the inimitable Tracy. It is about 16 minutes before the hour. We do have a challenge. Shirley's challenge from Frozen, Wisconsin, is on the table. We're $30 toward it, another $70, and that'll be taken care of, and we'll get the fundraising taken care of for tomorrow night, plus 50 for tonight, plus 50 tomorrow, and with Tracy's challenge, that'll get fundraising done for both Titanic Tuesday and prayer meeting Wednesday. How's that? So we had the horse meat Burger King story.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait, how do we say that? My daughters have this way that they say this word. Hey, Ferg, is Margie in there? And something.
Ew.
I can't do it. But Burger King, horse meat. Hey, look, Soylent Green is Flicka, okay? Anyway. So we got that. Oh, I think Margie's going to come make the little noise for us. The
hill.
Oh, no.
No, come here. You got to do it. You got to do it. Get down on the microphone. Come on, Margie. Yes, you can. Oh, no, you are not shy. You have waited nearly 19 years to get shy. No, you come over here right now. You just come right over here. Come on. You have to make the noise because I can't do it. We were talking, just talking about horse meat and Burger King burgers in the UK.
Ew.
All right, come on.
Take a deep breath.
Ew.
I told you she's a great laugher. She's available for parties in the front row of up-and-coming comedians. Big deep breath. Come on. Just lean down here. Yeah, come on. There you go.
Ew.
Ew.
See, I can't do it.
Sarah does it better.
Yeah, if you're over that way, I'd stay away from Burger King for a little while. But then again, if you were over that way or over here, I'd stay away from Burger King forever. You know, have it your way. Probably shouldn't have done that. But as we wrap up this evening on this Titanic Tuesday, it would be unfair if we didn't pop over to the wacky world of cranky old Ron Paul. I find this story fascinating because not so much for the fact that Ron Paul said what he said on the Twitter, but the way the right wing responded to it. When the story broke about the sniper who had killed over 100 people in Iraq, the American sniper, the greatest sniper of all time, and he was killed at the gun range in Texas by a veteran who was probably not getting the sort of back-home support that he needed, because, remember, the Bush administration created the financial mess that led to the VA being... Right. So Ron Paul, after this man gets killed, his name is Chris Kyle, he was credited with 160 confirmed kills and described himself in his little autobiography as a devout Christian. And pardon me, I'm not one, so that means that I'm clear to question what it means to be one. I didn't know that confirmed, I didn't know that devout followers of the Prince of Peace could call themselves devout Christians and have on their personal hands the blood of 160 human beings. Especially when those 160 human beings are arguably, according to the fundamentalist religions of the United States of America, when they weren't Christians, and it meant that those 160 human beings are now suffering eternal torment in hell because of the all-surpassing love of the Creator God. So I don't get that. So he got killed this past Saturday, Chris Kyle did, at a shooting range. And Representative Ron Paul, straight shooter, probably not the best phrase in this story to use for this story, tweeted the following. Chris Kyle's death seems to confirm that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Treating PTSD at a firing range doesn't make sense. That is what Ron Paul tweeted. Which is more than a little bit ironic. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Because we were talking about that very Bible verse the other day when some right-winger, I think from California, was arguing that Jesus wants everybody to own an AR-15 and cited bizarre Bible verses citing the right of self-defense from the book of Exodus and yeah. But never getting around to citing that verse that says, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Right? Right. But it was not lost on Ron Paul. Chris Kyle's death seems to confirm that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And from the right-wing response to that, you would think that that was a phrase that Ron Paul had just then, that very instant, come up with. But it wasn't. It comes from the New Testament. It literally comes out, according to the people who believe the literal nature of that book, it comes right from the mouth of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, who was later murdered for his peace positions. Those who live by the sword die by the sword. It got retweeted 1,000 times, but not necessarily by people who agreed with Representative Paul. Let's see. Right-wing 962nd tier talk show host Doc Washburn said, "Really? You served in the U.S. Air Force, so by your logic, why are you still around at Ron Paul? You're not fit to tie Chris Kyle's shoes." I'll bet you if you ask him, Doc Washburn will tell you that he's a Christian. Oopsie. Little doctrinal, dogmatic conflict there, I think. And then there is Afghan war veteran and Medal of Honor winner Dakota Meyer, who said, "Hey, at Ron Paul, have you lost your mind? That sword protected your freedom. Guess since I live by it, I deserve to get murdered as well. Hashtag wow." I understand them being upset about it. But don't get upset at Ron Paul. Get upset at Jesus. Ron Paul pretty accurately, closely paraphrased Jesus. And remember, the disciple who drew the sword didn't run the other guy through and kill him. He just lopped off his ear so that Jesus had to reach down and pick the ear up and sort of magic Jesus glue it back on the side of his head. And he said, "Put up thy sword into his place." Swords are apparently masculine in Aramaic. "Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword." Meanwhile, Ron Paul's staff had to start backing away. He issued the following statement. "As a veteran, I certainly recognize that this weekend's violence and killing of Chris Kyle were a tragic and sad event." It were. "My condolences and prayers go out to Mr. Kyle's family. Unconstitutional and unnecessary wars have endless unintended consequences. A policy of nonviolence, as Christ preached, would have prevented this and similar tragedies." Reckon Ron Paul's going to show up on that there NRA enemies list sometime soon? No, because that's not what he's talking about. Chris Kyle didn't die precisely because he was very good at hiding and killing over 150 other people. Chris Kyle died because this country has a gun problem. We also have a war problem. We have a murder problem. We have a hypocrisy problem. We have a Republican problem. But just as the Republicans hated on Ron Paul, with whom I seldom find myself agreeing, just the same way they hated on Ron Paul for saying that the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War were not such good ideas, well, they didn't like hearing that little dose of truth either, because it is true and it is borne out by the statistics. If you own a firearm, much likely to be harmed by it than helped. That doesn't mean I want to get anybody's guns. I would just like to live, if it's okay, I would just like to live in a reality-based community. Meanwhile, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, had to run as far as he could away from his daddy, lest he be painted with the same poo-covered brush. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, gave an interview to Breitbart.com, where he said, "Chris Kyle was a hero like all Americans who don the uniform to defend our country. Our prayers are with his family during this tragic time." There's that frequently misused word, tragic, again. Poor, not too very bright Rand Paul, not quite understanding that the original meaning of that word sort of means that he's agreeing with his daddy about those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. By the way, Breitbart.com, whose founder said so many obnoxious and hate-filled and bloodthirsty and rotten and filthy things that they cannot be contained in one little itty-bitty internet radio show, said that Ron Paul's original comment was despicable. You're despicable. That about the father of the libertarian ophthalmologist. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. And thank you to all of you. Thank you for all you do to keep all of this going. It is greatly appreciated. We're $70 away from meeting Shirley's Frozen Wisconsin Challenge for the month of February. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. We will have Tracy's $50 challenge for prayer meeting Wednesday. Thanks for your contribution of ideas and information as well. Thanks for that wonderful email earlier this evening. A couple of wonderful emails, both by Mike and by Psychoticus. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina, Judy. It's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.